Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We are hanging out at Twin Peaks Buckhead location. Good to see all of our listeners out here. Mike, the NBA has fined Dallas Mavericks star Luka Doncic $35,000 for making the money gesture towards the officials the other night. If you didn't see this game, it was a well-contested game. Was Golden State and the Mavericks.
And there was a sequence which Mark Cuban now is going bananas, and he's going to get fined over as well.
He is.
But there was a sequence where there was a ball out of bounds, and I'm sure they ruled, just simply ruled it, that it was Golden State's ball, or they went to video review, but the Mavericks were on the other end of the floor. But the refs didn't stop to say, oh, timeout, we're inbounding over here.
Yep.
So literally, Golden State got to inbound for an uncontested layup.
And it was it's a big deal.
It was a close game.
It was a three-point spread.
Right.
How would I know that? It was a three-point spread, and that bucket put him up five. And here's the deal. The refs didn't communicate to the Mavericks' bench, which is why Cuban lost his mind. And then, obviously, Jason Kidd. But, yeah.
And Luka did, the thumb and their two index fingers doing the money thing.
Meaning they were paid off.
Well, it has happened before.
Well, and I said, listen, all I know is in that particular game, the officiating was terrible.
Right. Our game, Ben Taylor, a clown, the guy that Fred VanVleet got into it with, he got fined $30,000. Adam Silver's got to fix these things. He's got to fix. Roger Goodell and Adam Silver will tell you, oh no, they've got the scrutiny and they've got the best officials. No, it's not passing the eye test these days, Carl. It's just not.
So $35,000 for Luka. And here's the deal, guys. As much as I agree with him that there was a lot of miscommunication in the game and bad calls, you can't have your star players insinuating the officials are in on the take. Okay, I don't care who it is. So at the end of the day, the NBA has to do this, but I don't necessarily disagree with how he felt about it in the moment. Meanwhile, our poll is up at 92.9 The Game. It's at Dukes and Bell. What grade do you give Terry Fontenot in the Falcons front office on free agency so far? Mike has given his grade. I'll let him give it again coming up at 5 o'clock. I was a little disappointed because obviously he's grading on a very high scale right now.
Well, again, are you disappointed in my ability to grade or the grade? I've only had two whiskeys. I mean, come on.
The grade. I mean, obviously your level of anticipation here is a little bit higher than most people.
Again, my dad always knew what I wanted for Christmas. And we didn't have a lot of money in the house, but Dad would always find a way. Maybe why we had three mortgages when he died, but Dad always found a way to get me the Evel Knievel for Christmas. I wanted the Evel Knievel set, and I didn't get it.
In a year where we have money to spend,
this is
and
terrible.
They spend it. Thank you, Chris. They spend it. They didn't spend it the way that you wanted them to spend it.
I wanted Javon Hargrave, and you know this.
I do. You were saying it all along.
That's the dude. Why not, when you had the money, why not get the best defensive tackle? Onyemata is familiar with Nielsen, our new DC, but why not get the best guy as opposed to what was ranked considered the third or fourth best DT in the class?
You can go give your grade. It's simple. A, B, C, or D. Or D or D or F. I wouldn't give them that. But you can go grade, give them your grade on our poll question. All right, more to get to, including what we're thinking about tonight with the NCAA tournament. Games continue right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Our coverage begins at 6, guys, which means Mike and I are done at 6 tonight.
What? I've got more to say.
Well, you can do it Monday. 6 o'clock. We are out of here.
Talking to myself on the way home.
And we've got NCAA action. Right now, though, let's talk some dogs.
At Bell on the sidelines with the dogs.
All right, Mike, it looks like Kirby Smart's going to do exactly what I thought he was going to do. I don't think he names a quarterback, and I don't think he's going to name a quarterback until we get close to game one, and even then, it may not be until the week of. Kirby's latest update, according to our guys at Dog Nation, is this could be a lengthy competition. which means if you thought he was going to name the starter coming out of spring, it's probably not happening.
Yeah, I know that over the years we've had all of those big-time recruits, you know, Justin Fields. You know, Jake Fromm and, you know, Jake, you know, you think about, like, you know, wakey-wakey, Jakey, eggs and bakey, Mark Richt flying out to Pacific Northwest to make sure that that quarterback would come to Athens. Now you've got arguably three guys that could probably start for any program in the country.
Sure.
And that's something you haven't always had. There's always, like, clearly a 1A and a 1B, and now it's pretty much wide open, and Munkin's gone. So you could even move ahead, and if you really want to think about, you know, and the guy that no one's really talking about is Gunnar Stockton.
Right.
Gunnar Stockton has a relationship in the recruiting process with Bobo. So we'll see. But Carson Beck, because he's the guy that was on the field, I'd always say that Kirby would go with the guy with the most experience, albeit wrap-up duty. Unless Vandegrift shows out.
Well, the poll that's out about who you think is going to start against UT Martin.
Martin? Yes. Has his own school?
UT Martin, September 2nd is the opener. Carson Beck, 70% of the folks that have voted think that he's going to be the starter.
Right.
Brock Vandegrift is second, followed by Gunnar Stockton. The point is, though, Kirby's not giving up on any of this. And he's basically saying, look, they all need reps. They all need game time. We got to get as much as that under their belt,
right.
Which makes me believe, unlike the last year or two, where you knew Stetson Bennett was going to be the dude, that's not going to be the case here. And he's going to probably tell us they're all doing great because we're not seeing these practices,
right.
And they all look good, and then he'll showcase them all at G-Day, and then everybody will be like, yeah, I'm excited about all three, but you don't know who the starter is.
Now, it's not like when we're talking like, well, you got two quarterbacks, you don't have a quarterback.
And wait a minute, I want to say this real quick. For Georgia fans who are going to say right now, well, Duke Shabella don't matter who the quarterback is. Yes, it does.
Yeah, I remember 20.
Think yes, it does.
Think about how 2020 started. It was DeJuan Mathis. Remember that?
Wow.
Remember how that went down?
Wow, yeah, I forgot.
You know? And then eventually, you know, you had Jacob Eason. Then it was Fromm time. You know, I love how Georgia fans always, and you and I joke around about it, there's always the big recruit quarterback, and it was Jacob Eason for so many years. And it was like, Fromm time. He's from Warner Robins. He's one of us.
One of us.
Dog time. The Fields dynamic, which I still don't know what happened there. Maybe we'll never understand why Fields couldn't get on the field. I always thought they didn't have a plan for him. But JT Daniels, Stetson Bennett. And then, you remember JT Daniels never got his job back when he got healthy. He stayed with Bennett, and the rest is history.
Yeah. So for those of you who are like, the team is so good, it doesn't matter, that's not true. You're going to still need a comparable quarterback, even though the schedule, I think, is as easy as it's been in years when you look at the Dawgs' schedule.
I mean, again, had they had Oklahoma, it would have completely changed their SOS, but they don't, and that's per the SEC. Why? I don't understand why they do those things, because in a few years, Oklahoma and Texas will be in the SEC, so they clear them from the schedule. It doesn't make sense, but that's how they operate.
All right, the absence of Darnell Washington, Mike, what are they going to do now as to how they run this offense, especially in the red zone? We talked about 12 personnel.
Right.
Two tight ends, right? Bowers, Washington. Bowers is back. But do you run as much of that? And part of the discussion right now is you need to do this in the spring. You are putting in, and Bobo's putting in this red zone offense that may not include a lot of 12 personnel. Maybe it includes more four wide, or you're spreading teams out instead of trying to do what you did last year with two unique tight ends.
Well, how about this? And maybe on some plays, you have Brock Bowers get on Oscar Delp's shoulders, and then he can beat Darnell Washington, because that's the kind of size element that you're not going to have. But we did talk about it with our Connor Riley from Dog Nation.
Connor Riley.
See Connor Riley, by the way, on the Dog Nation on Twitter. And he was saying that Oscar Delp, we talked about Pierce Spurlin and the injuries that he's dealing with. That's like the third option. So the guys you're going to see is Oscar Delp. And, of course, Brock Bowers is the best tight end in the country. But you just touched on it. Nobody can match that kind of physical size and the skill set. And, by the way, I'd take Darnell Washington if he was available in the second round.
No,
I don't think he'll be there when we pick.
No, I'm with you. I thought he had a really good combine. Again, you can't teach 6'7", 275. It's just like Nolan Smith.
Right.
You can't teach 4'3". Like, we can talk about all this other stuff, but if you use those guys in the right way, they're going to be a weapon. K. Connor Riley joins us on Wednesdays, guys, from Dog Nation. Bowers said, we're going to miss Darnell. This is a direct quote. Brock Bowers, the best tight end in the country, who could be a first-round pick this spring, says you're always going to take a little bit of a hit when you lose a guy like that. He says Delp is coming in. He's going to help us. But there's no denying about, you know, what Darnell was. So
I mean, he's a freak of nature, man. He's a dude. And to be honest, when we go back and you look real quick on the – because it still comes up on chat rooms, and you know that Ryan Day was still bellyaching about how he lost Marvin Harrison Jr.
Sure.
You lost the entire focal point. Remember, you went with 12 personnel. We talked about you lose your tight end and everything you build that offense around, because your wide receivers, let's be honest, were, you know, pretty average. he goes out, you definitely go and fix that. But everyone goes back to what the big moment was when Harrison goes out and the target for C.J. Stroud, and he wasn't there in the second half. But Georgia had to pivot themselves.
Absolutely. Last but not least, guys, it's Dukes and Bell at Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We're going to talk about the NCAA tournament games coming up tonight. Nick Saban and his comments on Bryce Young. Bryce had his pro day yesterday. Will Levis had his today at Kentucky. So we went from C.J. Stroud to Bryce to Levis. Is Anthony Richardson having his pro day? Is it coming up? Is he going to ball out down there in Florida and allow his skill set to be seen? But this is what Nick Saban said about Bryce Young and the process.
Guy can just process. He so quickly is very accurate with the ball. He's a great preparer, understands the game extremely well. So I know some people, you know, question his height, but there's been other quarterbacks that have had success. And if anybody can play the game, because he plays it like a point guard in basketball, and he makes great decisions, and he makes them quickly, and he's accurate with the ball. So I think that's going to translate very well.
Yeah, and you and I have talked about watching some of that on Good Morning Football. You know, Saban's always banging the drum for his guys and talking about Will Anderson as well, and some glowing platitudes went his way, but saying like another coach on the field, that's what it is to have a guy breaking down film before anyone else, or even the coach has got the film. He was in the film room doing his thing.
If Bryce is going to be as good as we think he is, he's got to get rid of the football. He can't be a guy that's jumping around in the pocket 8 seconds and thinking you got to get in the NFL, you got to get rid of the football. And it's what allowed Breeze to have the career he did, Mike.
Right.
If he can do that, and that's what Nick's talking about. Saban is talking about his processing is quick enough that it's going to translate to the NFL. By the way, Turtle just said next Thursday is Florida's pro day. So Anthony Richardson, we'll be talking about that next week. But right. I think a lot of people are intrigued as to what he's going to do with the throwing part of it. Right. We know his athleticism is off the chart.
Now, for what it's worth, Chris, our engineer said Will Levis looked ripped. Apparently, this dude was carved out of wood at his pro day up in the UK.
All right, man, coming up.
And by the way, Tennessee does lose. I know we talked about it earlier. Just Tennessee goes down to FAU. That's kind of what your man Barnes does over there. And Alabama back in action, and we'll see what they can do tonight.
Yeah, four good games. I think last night was good. I mean, you had one blowout, the UConn game.
Arkansas, and we talked about their physicality. And coming up in Guy Talk, more on why UConn was so ticked off.
All right. When we come back, Scott Spinelli had something to say about every game we're going to watch tonight. We'll let you hear it coming up next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
This is Jim Rome with a CBS Sports Minute.
It's Dukes and Bell with Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Hey, man, real quick before we talk about what Scott Spinelli, former BC coach, told us about these matchups tonight, San Diego State, Alabama, we're going to take a look at all of them, guys. I like Princeton tonight to cover. I'm just telling you that. I don't think they beat Creighton, but Miami, Houston, Xavier, Texas, four good games as the Sweet 16 continues.
Right.
But Mike and I were talking about before the break, you mentioned, you know, the pro day. Anthony Richardson's pro day is next Thursday for Florida.
Right.
Will Levis had his today. So we went from C.J. Stroud to Bryce Young at Alabama and Will Levis today. And Mike, you find something interesting about this?
I find it interesting. I don't understand the hype around Will Levis. I know that guys want to project him to be Josh Allen. Josh Allen, I mean, against lesser competition, put up some decent numbers, but still, you and I always questioned why the Bills drafted him. It took him 3 years to get it right, and Brian Daboll was the guy that really got the most out of him. And also, as they added Gordon, who's working the board for us today, they added Diggs, and yeah. Diggs added a weapon to him. Reason I bring this up, the only 300-yard games that Will Levis had this season were against lesser competition. They were against MAC schools, you know, and Youngstown State. His best performance in an SEC game was nothing special. It's 230 yards against Miss State. I mean, this guy, 19 touchdowns and 10 interceptions. That sounds like Richard Todd coming out of Alabama, you know, in the 70s. And I know he looks like carved out of wood. I mean, I saw the photos and the video today. He threw a ball 75 yards. Who cares? Zach Wilson threw the ball 75 yards. I don't get the Will Levis fascination, other than you're trying to make him into the next Josh Allen, and he's a few inches shorter than that guy. And, oh, by the way, his rushing yards for the season?
Yeah, bro.
Will Levis, minus 107 yards, which means he's sitting there patting the football, holding too long in the back. You're going to have to fix him to be an NFL quarterback.
So
I say Will Levis is a no-go.
Well, listen, somebody's going to risk it. You know this.
Right.
Because of the physical attributes. You pull him up today as pro day, and Chris said it. He looks ripped. He is a guy that can take punishment, right? Mm. Everybody's talking about the frame of Bryce. Here's a guy that can take that. And he played hurt a lot of this season. But this is where I would say the NFL scouts are enamored by him. Liam Cohen was his offensive coordinator He was with the Wildcats. He goes to play, to be the OC with the Rams and Sean McVay. This is when I think a little bit of the – he had changed coordinators. And then Coleman, I think he's back at the University of Kentucky. But the point is – that year or two where – and that, by the way, the Rams go to the Super Bowl, right? When Coleman leaves.
Now, he ran, by the way, he rushed for 376 yards at Kentucky last year.
The
rushed for 260
year.
When he was at Penn State.
Yeah.
So he does move, but this year it was a different story, whether that's it correlates to bad offensive line play. You saw them in person up there at the game in Lexington.
Yeah, no, listen, but nobody does anything against the Dogs, right?
Right.
I mean, it's just the nature of it. He had a bad throw in the end zone where he threw an interception.
I'd rather take Anthony Richardson than Will Levis work with – because both guys, I think it requires some tweaking.
But here's what I'm getting to about why teams will take a chance. Coleman, who's been an OC in the NFL, is a guy that other people are talking to about Will Levis and what his skill set is. The year you're talking about, I think it was the previous year, not this last year, he was on everybody's radar.
24 touchdowns, 13 picks.
And so that, I don't know how much that – you know, how far that gets him, but I do think that plays a factor, Mike, because – he now has played for an NFL caliber OC who understands what his skill set really is. We'll see. Somebody's going to take a risk on him. I agree with you. If you're telling me just raw talent, it's Anthony Richardson
all
day.
But we'll own this. We both thought that Josh Allen was going to be a bust, and Josh Allen took from year two to three was a galactic leap in his NFL work.
But he put in the work.
Right.
His completion percentage in college sucked, and that's the criticism about Anthony Richardson.
But to be honest, though, Josh Allen also did some stupid stuff this year. Is there anything to do with Brian Daboll not being there?
Well,
he had some little wobbles during the season for Buffalo.
No, listen, the turnovers were huge, and they were costly. They were costly turnovers. It's just something we're talking about, guys. I think right now, if you ask me, it could change in a month. It could change in a week. Four quarterbacks are gone in the first 10 picks. That's what I believe. And that's why I think us sitting at 8, we're going to have our pick of best corner, best offensive tackle, best defensive rusher or edge rusher.
Right.
Pick the position, you're probably going to have the chance to get the top guy at that particular position if that happens. All right, Mike, let's talk about these games tonight. Scott Spinelli stopped by talking about all the matchups, and he had something to say about every one of them. Now, Alabama is the number one overall seed in the NCAA tournament. Mm-hmm. By the way, Nate Oates came out and said, I don't take offense to what Nick Saban had to say the other day.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, Nate.
Yeah, I mean, again, we were saying this, and make it brief. Brandon Miller is going to be a superstar in the NBA. And no one's saying he should not play, but I'm just saying there should have been something. There had to be some kind of penalty phase for his involvement. Whether, you know, again, whether direct or indirect, he got the car with a weapon to a murder scene. Something's got to – if Alabama law – and guys, I got these dudes that come at me all the time. He didn't get charged with nothing. Doesn't matter. There's right and there's wrong in this world, man. And the coach should be the guy who's the arbitrator and say, look, you know what, maybe you sit out for 5 or 6 games. Well, the SEC should have stepped up, and nobody stepped up.
Alabama's a 7-point favorite tonight. San Diego State, that's a 6:30 game, by the way, tonight here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Here's what Scott Spinelli said about the Alabama matchup.
I think this was one of the storylines. All the one seeds had a storyline coming into the tournament, and Alabama's storyline now is about to rear its head. Look, the distractions of what has gone on within, you know, the program, it's going to work one or two ways for Alabama. First of all, they're going to hit adversity against San Diego State. San Diego State is bigger, they're experienced, they're rugged, they're tough. When they hit adversity in this game, what's going to happen is the distractions of what's gone on off the floor pull them apart, or whether they rally around one another and are really connected. I think San Diego State in this game is going to squeak out a game here, and I think the distractions of what has gone on, I think it affects these young kids. I believe that.
He's saying it's finally going to catch up to him tonight, Mike.
They've been able to compartmentalize all the way through, including that first game after all things went down with the news and that about his involvement when he played against South Carolina. I mean, he had one off and had an amazing performance with them shouting, lock him up. And this guy was just balling out, man.
He
had no effect on him.
He was. Miami, if they upset number one seed Houston, it's going to be huge. Houston's trying to get back home for the Final Four. Scott Spinelli had this to say about Miami and Coach Larrañaga, who's done an amazing job down there.
Well, look, they, again, you said it, you know, they're a team that when they get into the tournament, they've got a heart, they've got experience, they've got star power. Coach Larrañaga is as good as it gets out there. And look, you know, think back to the Drake game. I mean, they've got a tough matchup here against Houston because Houston defends like Drake, but they're bigger, they're more athletic, and they're even deeper. So Drake gave them everything that they could handle, and I think that's going to happen in this game as long as Sasser's healthy. The biggest question mark is going to be, can Miami push Houston and create turnovers? Because that's the only way I think they can beat a Houston team that's as good, if not better, than Drake defensively.
Now, if I was going to pick an upset, I'm thinking San Diego State, Alabama. I do like his assessment there. The other one for me is Xavier, Texas. It's a 3-2 seed. Xavier's a 3 seed. Right. Texas, the 2 seed. Xavier's really good. That might be the other one. But what if Princeton ends up playing this weekend in the Elite Eight and they beat Creighton? Here's what Scott Spinelli said about Princeton and how well they shoot the three.
Both teams, again, mirror one another from the three-point line. You've got Princeton has 4 guys who have made 60 or more threes. I don't think I've ever seen that on a team.
No.
They've made over 300-plus threes on the season. And Creighton has 6 guys who have made 20 or more threes. They've made over 300 threes in the season. So I think what will end up happening in this game is whoever defends the three-point shot and whoever is making the three ball is as simple as that, I think, moves on. However, the advantage Creighton has is they're so well disciplined that even if Princeton is scoring late into the shot clock, it's not going to rattle Creighton where they start doing some undisciplined things and taking some crazy shots and then go play defense 30 seconds again. I think Creighton can play fast. So I like Creighton, but in a good game, really good game.
Yeah, and if you see tonight Princeton's knocking down threes, just don't be surprised. It's what they do. That's what he's telling you. They knock down threes, and everybody be like, oh, Princeton, they're not good. This is what they've done all season long.
Right.
It's Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Coming up, we got some guy talk for you. Top of the hour, we'll get to the Falcon Report, a critique of Terry Fontenot's free agent period so far. But, Mike, what do we got coming up in guy talk?
I'll tell you what I got coming up. Why was UConn so angry last night? Well, because they got booked into a really crappy hotel. Also, we have a major weed problem in this city, Carl. And it's not that there's people have a problem getting access to the weed. It's the quality of the weed. I want to comment. It's a Mike Bell commentary. It's part of Guy Talk. Coming up next, live here at Twin Peaks in Buckhead.
Sticky Icky.
But first, who wants to go see The Offspring? I do. I can't win. I work for the radio station. Carl, what number you want to give away?
Well, let's give them away to caller number 7 at 404-741-0929. And it's not just The Offspring, guys. It's Sum 41. It's the Let the Bad Times Roll Tour.
Yeah.
Caller 7 is going to win those tickets right now, Dukes and Bell.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Yeah, baby. It's Atlanta where the play is play. And we're live here, man, at Twin Peaks in Buckhead. Great looking crowd. Give it up for the ladies. Guys, give it up for the beautiful ladies. Both the customers and the servers. You deserve her. Oh, guys got it. We got your hands in your pockets.
Wait, look at this sister right here. She's like, I just walked in here. What is going on?
Hi, how are you? So I'm driving up here today, and I'm on 400. 400 is from 3 lanes down to 2 lanes because they're doing something on one of the Martyr Bridges.
Aren't they always?
Always. And, you know, so traffic grinds to a halt, and that's cool. I got the top down. Music's blasting. Feeling good. And all of a sudden, the weed just starts wafting by. And I'm talking to you, guy, with the Clayton County plates and the purple Challenger. But the weed just starts coming back.
Come on, Mike. You didn't have to identify him
like that. I didn't give you the plate number, but...
Who has a purple Challenger?
Everybody,
mean, really?
Honestly, 4 out of 5 people in Fairburn. If I'm honest.
The next time I'm rolling, I'm going to be like, oh, there's that purple Challenger.
I got to be honest with you. My drive home on 85 is the Fast and the Furious 11. I mean, the things I see. But anyway, so I'm stuck in traffic, and usually I tell Carl this all the time, but I'm going to bring this to the air. I don't want to sound like the white cop on Sanford and Son. You know, I guess they're smoking marijuana up there, some cannabis. No, I mean, when I'm in Jamaica, I will invite. I'm not a big weed guy, you know, but if someone's got
whatever.
It, when in Rome, I will take part. But I got to tell you.
That's like the guy that goes, no, I stopped drinking 2 weeks ago.
Oh, but I'm not.
I'm not a big weed guy.
No, I mean,
I don't smoke.
If somebody has it, it's like a beef and cheddar. You put one in front of me, I'm going to eat it. But anyway, in this case, I'm in traffic, and every day I smell weed when I'm stuck in traffic. But it's not good weed. It's incredibly poor quality, stanky smelling stuff. Mm. Can you guys please get some better weed in this town?
Well, listen, Mike. I mean, it's hard to import here to the state of Georgia, okay?
What is the rule right now? Let's bring Gordon in on this. Gordon is our expert on weed, since Eric is not here today.
Wow, you're going to put Gordon on blast like that.
Well, he hangs out with Bankhead. I think he's got some experience.
There's going to be somebody stopping in the parking lot.
I heard you're an expert.
So what is
this is a catastrophe.
What is the ruling on this? You have the card? It's legal in Georgia? Or where do we stand?
No.
It's decriminalized in Georgia. Ooh. So if you have marijuana on you, you get stopped with it. You just get a ticket instead of going to jail.
How much, though? Less than an ounce. That ain't enough.
Women over here seem to be quite informed on this subject over here on table number three.
What? Oh, they all into the conversation now. Right. Earlier it was all about mimosas. Now they're like, Yeah, I'm listening, girl. Yes. I heard it.
So, Gordon, why is the quality, why is the weed smell so bad to the novice in his car stuck in traffic?
Well, because it's not California. We were just talking earlier. California, Colorado, Nevada, all of these places have dispensaries, and it's legal, and you can grow some of the best stuff in the world.
Right.
And they do.
And for you kids at home, you stay away from that stuff. It's a gateway drug. By the way, have you seen the video that went viral of the women who went to, was it a Vegas trip or was it L.A.?
It was L.A.
They apparently packed large quantities of weed in their, and they didn't go carry on. They checked it in their checked bags.
Oh, yeah.
They get to the airport, and they get back, and they're going through their bags, and TSA confiscated all of it.
All of them.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and they're going
to
get it all.
And the girls, needless to say, were a little disconsolate.
There was one girl that just had the face like the, I'm just.
Because they had spent the grip. That's why.
Yeah.
They were mad. They were like, we're going to get all this back home. No, you ain't.
No, you're not.
All right, man. Not. Since we've got our man, Gordon, and our G-Buddy. G-Buddy is filling in for Eazy-E today. What happened to CeeLo? First off, why was CeeLo Green riding a horse in a nightclub, and then, of course, he fell off the horse, which was not what he was going for?
It was so much wrong in that scenario. I have no idea who thought this through. We're going to bring a horse in on a slick club floor.
Yeah.
We got CeeLo.
Polished concrete.
CeeLo riding the horse. We got cameras flashing in the horse's face. And then I don't know how much CeeLo is weighing nowadays, but the horse is clearly buckling as he's walking through.
They're lucky that horse didn't break a leg.
The horse went all the way down.
I got to be honest. I'm looking at the photo. CeeLo looks like Marlon Brando in Apocalypse Now. He's pretty big right now.
The horse
now,
let
man.
Him down, and CeeLo did a stop, drop, and roll. He rolled all the way off the end of the horse.
This was a birthday party celebrating the late rapper Shorty Low.
Oh,
this
man.
Was Wednesday night up in Bankhead, right? The bank.
Right, the bank. Shouts out to Will on the bank.
So Green, who was rocking his jacket with his trademark large chain, signature glasses, rides in, as Gordon so aptly described. At one point, it was evident the horse was feeling nervous and about to lose balance. And, CeeLo got a horse in this bee. One party goer was filming his horse. Somebody screaming in the background as the video was being shot.
Which, wow. A horse has absolutely nothing to do with Shorty Low. Let's start there.
I mean, CeeLo was announcing his presence with authority on the back of a third. You know, like it was like a kingly entrance.
Shorty Low wasn't riding horses. Shorty Low was from Born Homes, projects off of Bankhead Highway. Had nothing to do with a horse.
Hey, man, we got to celebrate Shorty. I suggest we get a horse.
So apparently, whoever was emceeing said, joking, that in the spirit of Shorty Low, did that blank as the late rapper is a comedian and funny like that. So the horse was getting some credit for the evening.
Oh, that's
taking a strange turn.
Hey, I'm glad CeeLo's okay.
Right.
I'm glad the horse is okay. Let's just not do this again.
Ever.
That's correct.
Okay. We don't need a repeat performance.
Right. And again, horses, guys, if you don't know, the legs are very big on top. The legs are very skinny. As Gordon said, shiny concrete surface, not good.
Here's the deal. Last time I went and rode horses, I felt a little bit embarrassed because I was like, oh, yeah, it's been a while since I've rode. And the lady was like, okay, here's your horse. It was the biggest damn horse on the ranch.
Yes.
Right? And
yes.
I was like, well, why do I have to get the big horse? And she said, well, you're a big person. And I was like, oh, okay, thank you. Like, that made me feel really uncomfortable that, you know, everybody else is riding normal-sized horses.
They put the big
fella Clydesdale.
They put the big fella on the big boy.
Oh, so you're going to ride Doomsday.
Yeah.
Same thing in Jamaica. Threw me right in the water. I was literally, I took two steps. Oof. It's on the beach. Wouldn't that be romantic? We'll ride horses on the beach. Hey, man, real quick. We talked about it earlier. Chris brought this up in, I think it was in Yemen. No, man, UConn Huskies put a whooping on the Arkansas Razorbacks, and they were extra motivated. You get checked in to Las Vegas. That's where that regional was being staged. They put them up in the Luxor.
What's wrong with the Luxor?
It's a dump. Okay.
It's not Circus Circus.
Well, it's one step above. It's, I mean, let's be honest. Look, for guys, and we don't want to sound elitist because if you've never been to Las Vegas, you're putting a trip together, you're trying to go for an affordable room.
Viva.
And some would say that you're only going to spend time sleeping in the room, so what does it matter? But the Luxor is pretty dumpy. You and I stayed there for a fight a few years ago. It's a dump. But it was great. Carl, it's 30 years old. It'll be 30 years old in October.
Well, that's the thing with all these new casinos. They're about to, for those who don't know this, so the Mirage has been bought. And
it's supposed to be the new Hard Rock, I was
it
told.
It is, right? And they're going to redo it. I don't know if they're going to close it or whatever, but they're going to redo it. But the Mirage, like the volcano. When I first started going to Vegas, like the volcano was a big deal. You had thousands of people outside watching this damn volcano.
And then Treasure Island, remember they had the pirate ship fighting the British ship?
All that stuff is played out. It's old, to your point, and it's time to renew. Mm. But, yeah, man, I can't tell you the last time I stayed at the Luxor, but you're right. At one point, when the Luxor was popping.
Right.
Rum Jungle?
That was Mandalay Bay.
Mandalay Bay.
Yeah, rum, and that's all part of the.
That's
the
right.
But you take that little monorail. No, yeah. Mandalay Bay was my joint.
No, oh my God. I'm trying to think of there was a club in Luxor that was. It was red, like it had.
Yes, I know what you're talking
red.
About. Yeah. Was it MGM?
No.
What
was it? Luxor.
What the hell's the name of the club? LXR.
Thank you. Yes.
Right? Or LAX
Lux.
Or
Lux.
Some crap like that. Whatever it was.
Lux.
It had three letters. The point being.
You remember.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.